Praise the Lord!
Today, I actually came here with something that the Lord placed upon my heart to share with all of us. And as I sat down there, the Lord just shined my light to my eyes to shine the light on my turn my eyes to another sermon here that I've already been. I have a note here in my magazine. I just laughed. I said, "Wow, Lord, you want me to talk on this?" Then I started looking, and then the Lord joined the two together. I noticed that each time I've been exhorting here, I've been taking too long. Look like, because I look at my psalm, I recorded them, and I put them on the internet. So if you missed it, you can actually go to my website, and you will see the sermon. You can listen to it again. But today I thought I would just make it 30 minutes. Then he joined the two together, so hopefully I will still be able to make it short. Praise the Lord. So what the Lord wants me to talk about today is something that I was meditating upon it somehow, and the Lord said, we don't see the big picture. Let me say it again. We don't see the big picture. I hope you know and understand what I'm saying about big picture. Many of us that are used to the puzzles, you know, the puzzles that little kids will play on, they will give a puzzle, maybe a landscape of something, and then they cut it into small pieces. And then they scramble it together and they ask you to put them back in position. And you can take hours trying to put all those puzzles together. But if you know the big picture, that you know the picture you are trying to make, then you'll be using that to follow where should this small part of this puzzle be placed. And our lives, that's what the Lord was telling me in this sermon, our lives, each person on this planet, and I'm going to go through the scriptures in a moment, giving you examples from the Bible, people that never really realize what impact they are making to this creation of God. They are just a small part of this big picture. Amen? That is what, when the Lord opened my eyes, I just marveled. I said, "Lord, whatever I was doing, whatever you are doing, whatever bottom, whatever hole you find yourself, that you know only God can pull you out of this hole, or whatever mountain you find yourself and you say, wow, this is a big mountain, you are just a microscopic part of God's big plan." That's what the Lord, that's what the big picture means when the Lord showed it to me. I'm going to give you an example. Just look at it that way. When you begin to look at life that way, it will make you to say, whatever is your problem right now, maybe you just have to give it to the hand of Jesus. Give it to him. Why? Because you are just a minute part of his big plan. Amen? And so, cast all your burdens upon him. That is what you gain from that. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. You may say, well, you know, God, no, the big picture is only what he's concerned about. It's not concerned about me. It's concerned about you. Amen? Don't say, well, my problem is so small, I'm in a corner here. It doesn't even have anything to do with his plan, but it has to do with his plan. We are like waters that are flowing, and we cross one another's path. And you may never know what path, what life you are touching, where you are going to be crossing someone's path, that God actually ordained it before the foundation of the world. That is what the big picture is talking about. And without talking of personal experiences or experiences that you may know right here on this planet, because if I ask you to give testimony, you can look back and begin to see these things yourself. But I'm going to give it from the stories in the Bible, that when you begin to look back at those stories, when they were going through their problems, when those men and women, when they were going through their individual problems, they didn't see the big picture. Even many of them passed on without seeing the big picture. But when we on this side, looking back at history, we can see the big picture, that man was the part of the plan of God that we are now enjoying. That woman was part of the plan of God that we human beings are now enjoying. They may not see it that way. And you also may not see what part you are playing. You may not see what part you are playing, but God is saying, hey, if you will hold on and just cast your burden upon the Lord, he carries it for you. And he has you in his hand. Amen? He got a whole world In His Son, He got the whole. Sing it with me. In His Son, He's got the whole world. In His Son, He's got the whole world. In His Son. Amen. He's got the whole world. In His Son, He's got the whole world. Jesus got the whole wide world. In His Son, He's got the whole world in it. Praise the Lord. Let me start first by telling you about the story of Job. All of us have read the Bible. You know the story of Job, don't we? How he was said to be a rich man. You can go to the book of Job and read the first chapter. And you may say, well, you know, Job just had that problem for himself. I don't know why I started with Job, because he was not in my list here. But the Lord wanted me to start with Job. Actually, it was in my list, like number four. But what was the importance of Job's story? That we are saying it was part of a big picture. Big picture of what? See, God has the whole plan of humanity. When He created that first man, He said their name shall be called Adam. So we are the Adamic race. But God has a plan. What is Job's affliction got to do with that plan of God? What is Job's being the richest man in his time and cut down to nothing to test him whether he was going to try, was going to curse God or something? What has that got to do with the big plan of God, if we are saying God's big plan? Because God was giving an example. You see, God has to give example for ages to come. Is that not part of His plan of God? If you are the one that is trying to build, you are trying to build many of us are engineers, many of us are in this technological generation, and you have been in projects where you have to do a design. Sometimes we say something, we say you have to make a protocol. Or a prototype, not protocol, prototype. You know what is prototype? You make a small example where you're going to show it to the investors so that they can invest in this thing. So you make a prototype. So Job was like a prototype that of God is saying, if you can see this example of how people may suffer for God, now you can see all through the ages, we can see an example in Job, and it's still being talked about up till today, until the end of the world. So it was part of the big picture of God. So that's what I'm trying to see. And let's take another example. Look at the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob in the Bible. Part of the big picture. This man may not really see himself. He didn't see himself as part of any big picture. But he saw a dream and a vision. He told his parents, he told his brother that he was going to be prime minister. And that looked like he was just somebody. God is going to bless you, and that's all. It's for him only. But you know, it was part of the big plan of God for the ages to come, not for the Jews only, because that's what we thought. God made him go to become a slave. He was transported to Egypt, and he went into dungeon, and then in the end, he became prime minister to save his brethren, Jacob and the Israelites. That was what we saw as if the big plan. Suppose God really had more plan than that. Look at it this way. Do you know that by his saving Egypt, actually he saved Egypt. He saved, perhaps you can say, the whole civilization then because of this famine. By that plan of God, God actually was extending the plan that he had to bring forth the Messiah. I want you to know that the big picture of God is to bring forth the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the big picture of God from the beginning. Because the Bible said the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ was already crucified in the mind of God to save mankind. So every plan in the Bible was geared towards that. He was actually working out that plan. So it started with Abraham. And then here came Jacob. And everything was going bad. God knew about the famine, so he had to save these people. He brought Joseph through the dungeon into Egypt. So it looked like, well, it was just Joseph. It was not just for Joseph. It was for the Messiah. God had a plan. So Joseph was part of that big picture. And over the years, God will reveal a little bit of that to some of these people so that many of them knew about some of those things so they were able to hold on. So that's why we call them prophets, or we call them the heroes in the Bible. God will reveal just a little bit of his plan to them. So let me give you another example. So when we're saying the big picture, sometimes you may not realize what you are going through as part of this big picture of God, but if you actually look back, or when people will look at history, or when God will begin to show it in the after we have all arrived at his feet, you will see where you actually fit in. I was telling somebody over some time ago, I said, do you realize something here? When God created Adam, I'm just throwing this one here, almost like a digression, but it's not a digression. When God created Adam, what did he tell Adam to do? What was his business? To tend the garden. Amen? Adam was told to tend this garden, which is the Garden of Eden. And many of us have this picture of a little garden of flowers somewhere in East in Asia that God put Adam there to tend this garden. So Adam was what? An agriculturist, a farmer, or what you call him, to be tending the garden. What is the purpose of tending a garden? Make it habitable, isn't it? Because whatever is the garden for is for people to be able to come in there and look at the flowers or be able to live in this environment. So tending the garden is to make it habitable. But what about after Adam? What about we? Are we still tending the garden? And the Lord showed to me something. He said, yes, whatever is your job, whatever is your business, whatever, I would say, well, I'm an electrician, I don't have a garden. But the garden of God is what? Jesus Christ gave a parable. He said, this world is the field. So Christ actually made this planet. This planet is his field. And then he put Adam here. So we are thinking of a particular garden. Adam is saying, this is the garden. The planet Earth is the garden. So everything we were to do, every man, whatever is your business, you are also tending the garden. So what do you mean by I'm tending the garden? You are making this world habitable. When the Lord showed that to me, he said, well, gee, Lord, I'm just an engineer. I'm screwing some computers together. I said, yeah, well, what is this computer for? Look at our internet. Suddenly make the world better. What about this telephone? Look at all this phone. It's making the world habitable. I said, yeah, well, you see, that's tending the garden. You are part of the gardeners that God has put over here. I said, what about this lady is just stamping? No, she's just a secretary. All she does is just put rubber stamps on all these letters, or open the letters and answer the phones. I said, what is that for? Well, the Lord said, she's part of this big picture. She is tending the garden also. Amen? So whatever is your business, what about, I'm just a nurse, I'm not part of any of the garden. Say, you are also tending the garden to make this world habitable, a better place for humanity to live in. So that, when God began to show that to me, I said, yeah, Lord, thank you. That's why he said, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Amen? Say, well, gee, I'm just a landscaper. I don't have anything other than just get money for $50, I mow their lawn. But what's the money the lawn for? To make some people say, this place is better to live in. Their house, you are a repairer, you are tending the garden. Amen? So that is the garden. When you begin to see that, you say, every part you are playing, you are making this world habitable. That is the garden the Lord was showing to me. And now let's look at, so it's part of the big plan of God. Now, I was talking about the plan of God to bring the Messiah from the beginning to the end. That was his plan, to bring the Messiah. Let's look at the story of Esther in the Bible. The story talk about, in the book of Esther, you can read the whole story because I'm just telling you the story without going to read some verses in it in a moment. In the story of Esther, the Bible told us that Mordecai was Esther's uncle, who perhaps wanted to just, it may look to us, if you look at it from the physical standpoint, you say, well, this man just wanted to make his niece to become the queen. Maybe he just wanted to become, you know, he's planning for himself. He wanted to become somebody, you know, reputable. He's lusting after the queenship. And he made Esther to participate in this beauty pageant, to become the queen of the empire. And you know the old story, Esther won. So she became the queen. Was that because of some lust that God should punish? It was part of the big picture. Because, you go back to the old story, By Esther becoming the queen, she saved the whole Jewish community in that generation, because there was a problem to destroy all the Jews. And Esther became the queen, and through her influence, the Jews were spared. Why? Part of the big picture. God has all those things ordained before it actually started. And that is what I'm trying to make you to see, that when you begin to see the little problems there, the little positions there, why this happened that looks like strange, even in the Bible, you know that God has a plan for you also. Whatever is your problem, whatever you are going through, God has a plan for you. Well, let's talk about some strange ones, like the story of Ruth in the Bible. You all know the story of Ruth, don't we? She went with what's the name of her mother-in-law? Naomi. Look like any common thing that could happen in the world. That is what you think. It's just a common thing. She was married. She was now a widow, and now she decided to follow her mother-in-law. Look like a normal thing. That is the common thing. What is that common thing? That is how mine is common. That's why your problem is a common thing. But that is the same common thing is what God is using to set the whole stage. That's why I say, whatever you are going through, you are part of this big picture of God. You are part of this big picture of God. Now begin to see yourself that you are very important to God. Amen? That is all you can get from this. See yourself that you are very important to God. You say, yeah, can I be important? I'm homeless. Somebody may say, I'm homeless. Look at Joseph in the Bible. He was like a homeless, a slave. In the dungeon. Did God see that? Did God have any plan for him? But God did. And when he came out of that place by the plan of God, he came out and saved a lot of people. So what we are saying is, don't count yourself out. Amen? Trust that the Lord knows about your case, and the Lord has ordained that you may go through that and you may have to come out on the other side. Because if you come out, you don't know. You say, as long as there's life, there's still a hope. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the story of Ruth. In the story of Ruth, she became what? The progenitor of Jesus Christ. A woman from Moab, from that was not even part of the Israelites. She just left. She was pulled out of Moab and come and joined the Israelites. And then she became the wife of, what's the name of the husband again? Boaz. And from there, she became the great-great-grandmother of David the king. How can God bring somebody from another state that is not even an Israelite? She was part of the plan, the big picture of God. So look at those big pictures of God and see that God has all of these things, like puzzle, like I said, he has everything in a big plan and he's bringing the puzzles. He may drag this puzzle through the mud, this part of the puzzle through the mud, through the landscape, and through the, before he puts him in his own place. But when he's dragging you, you may go through the mud. You may go through the jail like this. You may go through the homelessness like some people. You may go into the dungeon like that man. You may also go through this story of Rahab. Who can tell me the story of Rahab? Rahab was said to be an harlot. Just think about that. Rahab was said to be an harlot in Jericho. Jericho was not even one of the cities of Israel. Those are one of the cities that God said to Moses and to Israel, as you are coming, destroy them all. And God didn't tell him that when you get to Jericho, basically, I have a woman there I want you to save. No. But God asked that woman as part of the big picture. So that's what I'm trying to make. You have to begin to see this plan of God and see how God has already orchestrated some of these things. It's not by chance. Oh, by the way, by chance, this woman just saved two of my kids. Okay, I will save this woman. Oh, because she just saved two of my kids. Well, I don't really want to save her. Okay, let me just save her. You think that was the plan of God? No. This thing is part of the big picture. Because she became part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why was she an harlot? The devil will try to destroy anything that God has in plan. Why was Joseph was a slave? The devil will try to destroy anything that God already put a mark upon. You know, Jesus Christ said something. He said, I know my sheep. Amen? So you are part of the sheep of Christ. He knows you because he has his mark upon you. Then the devil also can recognize something. That's why the devil may come after you, try to destroy you. But don't lose hope because God has you in his hand. Amen? You are part of the big picture of God. And you can go on and on and on and you'll be surprised with many strange stories in the Bible. And before I go too far, I want us to read just one single verse. Let me read Job chapter 19, verse 23. Job chapter 19, verse 23. It was Job writing. He said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, and in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Now, what was Job saying? Because God showed to him some of these things we are talking about, that whatever he was going through, it was part of the plan of God. And that was why he could write some of those things like this. And I'm going to also read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Here it is. Solomon, the wisest man, said, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." Amen. "And lean not unto thy own understanding." Because in our understanding, we try to think whatever we are going through is trouble and we lose hope, we give up. But God is saying, lean not unto your own understanding, just trust the Lord. And he said, "In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. God is teaching us something there. Trust him with all of your heart. Whatever is your problem, whatever you are going through, we are on the top of the mountain, you are the lowest valley. Know that you are part of this big plan of God. We, individual of us, we are part of that big plan of God. You may not know where you fit in, but he is going to draw you into where you are going to fit in. And you say, "Well, my part is so small, it's negligible." No, it's not negligible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me go back to the story of Joseph one more time. Because the Lord is saying, this is how he linked the two. I said, this is just the first part of what the Lord was telling me to exhort today. That we should see the plan of God as bigger than you and me. That is, we are part of something that is bigger than us. Amen? Whatever you are going through, think of it that you are part, not just because I'm a Christian now, that's why I'm part of. I mean, even before you became a Christian, before you know God, God already knows that you are part of this bigger plan that is bigger than you. It's bigger than the whole planet. Because God from heaven is the one that is in this project. He's the project manager. Amen? And as a project manager, he knows exactly, you say, this man is going to do this part of it, this one is going to do that part of it. But the project manager is the one that is controlling everything. See, have you get yours done? Don't delay us. Have you get yours done? So it's, and in the end, now we are saying, well, we are going to be the saints of God. We're going to be the mansion. We're going to do mighty things for God. That is the final phases of it. But all these other parts, they are part of the same project. Amen? So God is making you to see that if you know that you are part of the same project, even let's come back to the story of Joseph. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I'm getting excited here. You remember these brothers of Joseph in Egypt, the son of Jacob, his brothers wanted to do him evil. Not so. So they tried to sell him. They said, let's see how this dreamer is coming. Let's kill him. So that we now see what will become of his dreams. So they wanted to quench the dream. But you know the old story that somehow somebody said, well, let's not do that. He's our brother. Let's sell him into as slaves. And they sold him as slaves. And he went through the old trouble of being a, and then he told them in the end, in a verse, they said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. As you can see these days, to bring a lot of salvation, to save a lot of lives. So he saved a lot of lives. Now, what I want to point out is this. Do you realize that Joseph forgave his brothers? Amen? Joseph forgave his brothers. And that's where the link the Lord is trying to bring me to him. Now you say, well, what has that got to do? What do you think about the brothers of Joseph? Are they part of the plan of God? Or you think it's only Joseph as part of the plan? Well, but they did evil. They are part of this plan of God. If they are not part of the plan of God, how come Judah was one of them? How come the Messiah came through Judah? Judah was not Joseph. So you can say then, even these guys that are bad guys, They're trying to sell this man. They are also part of this big picture. Amen? So now, if they are part of the big picture, should Joseph forgive them? Should he forgive them? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see where the Lord is bringing it to, because what he wanted me to talk about today is forgiveness. And I say, I just made a sermon on forgiveness, because that's where we're going. Then he said, big picture. I said, what is big picture here? This is something else I've written down many months ago. And it excited me when I talk about all these things God has done through some nobodies, that God made them to be part of the messianic line. Like this woman, Rahab, that was an harlot and barely saved in Jericho. How come she was the great-grandmother of King David, through whom the Messiah came? God said, the big picture. We don't know about that, but God has a plan for that woman. What about Ruth? Looked like by chance, I'll just follow more Naomi. She became the great-grandmother of King David. God said, the big picture. That is, this big puzzle that you are just a microscopic part of it is dragging you through the mud into your place. Dragging that woman from Moab into her place. Dragging that man from there into his place. Dragging Joseph through the mud into prime minister. He needed to be prime minister to save them. So God had that big picture in his plan. But see, but those are the heroes. What about this boy that did bad? Say God, what about Jacob, Ephraim, all of these other ones, Simeon? They were bad guys. You know, God said, no, they were part of the picture. They were back part of the big picture. Amen? So the man that you couldn't forgive, that friend of yours that you couldn't forgive, that she hurt you, he is part of the big picture of God. Amen? You may say, well, man, his own picture is just to make me mad and to make me run to God. Well, maybe that's part of his picture. Amen? But he's still fulfilling a purpose. And that is what the Lord is trying to make me to see here. That is, although every human being, you and I, whatever is your situation, whatever is your problem, wherever you find yourself, you are part of the big picture of God. And if you are part of it, then you better obey the word of God. And one of the word of God is this. He said, we must forgive one another. Amen?
Now, this is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.